Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 787 for the week of October 4th, 2025. I'm Chris Privateer, bringing you the week's show on RPG things. I don't know what number we're at. It's the numbers are too high, Kelly. Hi, Kelly Ryan.
Hi. As we were talking about good cats and bad cats, Alice started trying to pull stuff off walls immediately after, like, right as you started the show.
Oh, good kitty. Very good kitty.
And she knows she could get away with it this week because I'm sad.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Kelly lost a cat this week, but
unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's starting to go into kidney failure. He's 17.
So he's only 17. No, right. I did that earlier. I
guess we already did that joke.
Yeah, sorry.
The most spoiled cat that ever catted, and I know all cat owners say that, but this cat, like, he could get away with anything.
Vaughn lost a cat that Kelly lived with, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it was Vaughn's first cat.
Oh, okay.
It was the cat that he adopted after he moved out of his parents' house.
I see. So you didn't lose a cat. Vaughn lost a cat. But, Vaughn.
I love Jack just as much as anybody, and it's very sad because, you know, Jack tolerated me too. He'd harass me for food and treats and pretty much anything that I was eating at the time. But he was definitely Vaughn's cat because that cat practically lived in Vaughn's office, and only Vaughn could do certain things to him, like hold him like a baby.
You were the tolerated spare.
Yep. Yep, but he is sorely missed because he was just such a character. Loved to get into stuff and look you right in the eye as he got into stuff. And it was just a funny boy. And what's funny is looking around the house and seeing all the things that we've had to implement because of Jack. Like having airtight seals for our or airtight containers for our hamburger buns. Or having to have free weights in front of the door so that he doesn't lock himself in rooms. Gosh, what else? There's so many of them. We used to have child locks on our pantry because he knew how to open the pantry. Just so many things that cat knew how to get into. And it's weird not having him get into things. And the process is like, as soon as you walk in the door with groceries, it's like, where's the bread? Secure the bread, because you turn your back for a second and he's chewed through an entire loaf of bread.
Secure the bread. Yeah, with Scamper we have to secure the tomatoes, otherwise he puts little vampire bites in all of them.
That is
doesn't
weird.
Even eat them, just loves to chew them.
I mean, I say that's weird. Frankie did that with a bunch of bananas. Just bit right through them. To be honest, it ruined bananas for me because they were nasty after that.
Well, yeah, of course they'd be nasty. You don't want to eat it. What are you doing?
They were fresh bananas, man.
No, not after the cat chews them.
Oh, but rest in peace, Jack, yes. You were an amazing cat. Sorry, I didn't mean to take over right
off
the bat.
Oh, no, it's fine. Also joining us with a naughty kitty is Josh. Hi.
Hey. I don't know where my cat is right now. That's always kind of nervous. Yeah.
Have you had to implement Scotty-proof measures?
Not too many, honestly. I don't know. I've gotten to where it's free range, let him roam, and try to make sure that there's nothing he can get into that's too dangerous. Thankfully, my cabinets are not anything that he can really get his way into. So I haven't had to lock anything.
Oh, and Jack was a door dasher, too. Like, not delivering food, DoorDasher. I'm talking,
because that would have been more interesting if he was.
Obviously, I kind of hate that DoorDash has taken over that term, because for me that's like if you have a cat that if you open a door to the outside world, they will drop whatever they're doing and try to speed run getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you can tell people with cats that are like that because they immediately like kind of put their foot up as soon as the doors open.
Yeah. So did he actually like go anywhere, or is he like Scotty, whenever he gets out, he makes it about 5 feet and then gets distracted by like smells. What is this? And then you just pick him up and put him back inside.
He would, but he also knew that you'd have to get your shoes on before you could go catch him. And as soon as he saw that you were going to catch him, he would like start power walking away and go along the fence. Usually he'd make it about halfway to the backyard before I'd be able to catch him. Probably because he knew if he escaped for too long that he wouldn't get free access to his food.
He's figured out where his bread is buttered.
Yeah. Yeah, and we used to call his bluff, too. We'd open the door when it was pissing down raining, and he would door dash out and then realize it was raining and then run back in and be mad at us.
I was about to say, yeah, he's going to be pissed about that.
And whenever it was like snowing, bone chilling cold, we'd call his bluff. And I have video of him getting visibly angry that it was too cold to dash out.
Gets through the door and then like, what is this garbage? What did you do?
The wind blows in his face and he's like, wow. It's cold. Why is it cold? I want to escape.
It's cold. Why did you let this happen to me?
Yeah, because cats blame you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
They give you the look. This is your fault look. Oh, your cats not do any of this, Chris?
Oh, of course they do. I just do whatever they tell me to do, Kelly. I'm scared.
You're a hostage?
Yes.
Blink twice if your cats bully you. This is an audio podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting there blinking at the camera like people at home can hear it.
Well, I have the stream in a different window. I haven't gamed much. I'm in kind of a gaming funk because I don't want to start anything knowing that Pokemon's coming out in 2 weeks. So I did a different Pokemon thing. I booted up Pokemon Snap.
That's different.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just I had to urge. Well, I booted up the original Nintendo 64 version on my Steam Deck. And if you know what you're doing in that version, you can beat that game in like an hour. It is short.
Oh, yeah?
And there's only like 63 Pokemon in it. So I was like, well, I'm still got that feeling like I want to take pictures of Pokemon. So I booted up the Switch version again. And yeah, that game is considerably chunkier. There's like 24 different stages. And there's like daytime and nighttime versions of those 24 stages. And then there's like different, you unlock different level of research levels of those stages. So as you kind of level up the stage, they add more and more Pokemon to the stage. So you've got to go through those stages multiple times to kind of get everything. And then there's requests that you do to basically that they're quests that to take certain pictures to get them to do certain behaviors. Like one of them is getting a Pidgeotto or a Pidgeot, the
Pidgeot, evolved form,
Pidgeot, the evolved form to pick up a Magikarp. So you've got to like throw an apple at a Pidgeot to get it to fly in the air and then throw another apple at the Magikarp to get it to jump so that the Pidgeot will pick it up, and then you've got to get a picture of the Magikarp being held. And trying to trigger some of these behaviors is kind of a puzzle onto itself. Because you get your little, they're called fluffy fruits that you can feed the Pokemon. You get the Illumina orbs that make them glow and kind of power up the Pokemon to get them to do stuff. And then you've got a music box that you can play to make him dance. And it's always like a kind of a, like, I'm mashing all the buttons trying to figure out how to get them to do these behaviors. But then sometimes you've got to trigger stuff at the beginning of a level to get stuff to happen at the end of a level. So it is such a fun, robust game. I really hope that they do another sequel to this one with some of the newer Pokemon. Because this came out after Sword and Shield came out, so we're missing the Scarlet and Violet guys. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've played this week.
Vaughn has accused you of button mashing through Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a callback to when we were playing Smash a while back, and I was getting mad at him for button mashing, and I was trying to, like, play Smash for realsies, and he was beating my ass.
That shows you.
Mm-hmm. Well, because at one point I was, like, trying to learn how to play Smash like the pros do, you know, doing like, the throws and all of that stuff, and that is surprisingly complicated for such a simple game. I a competitive Smash player, I am not. And will never be. But yeah, that's my what I've been playing. It's been kind of a dull week other than the vet visit. Mm-hmm. I'm just holding out for the 16th when I get my Switch 2. My Pro controller and screen protector and memory card are getting here today, because I wanted to go ahead and order all that stuff so it would be ready.
Oh, wow. You found a memory card?
Yeah. I just did the $60 256 card. I figured that at least double the storage for the time being, and hope that bigger cards go down in price, hopefully.
They're not even necessarily easy to find in stock all the time. You know, like, I'm not exactly been, like, constantly camping on it, but every other time I go and look, it's like, oh, there's just none in stock of the bigger ones.
Do you follow Wario 64 on Blue Sky?
Yeah.
Because supposedly Walmart has one that's like $40.
Hmm.
That's like the cheapest you can expand your memory at this point.
Yeah.
The one I picked up on Amazon is like one of the branded cards. I think it has a mushroom on it, and was 60.
You will need it, because like my storage is already almost full on the thing.
Yeah.
The Switch 2 games take up a ton of room.
Yeah, and I have a feeling I'm going to be having to clean the fridge a lot.
Uh-huh.
No fun of putting every Atelier game I literally own on the system. And I plan on, like, keeping some of my puzzle games on the Switch, like Picross on the Switch 1, just because I'm going to be, that'll be what I bring with me on road trips and such.
Yeah, that's probably my big complaint with it, is it's just almost too big, certainly, to be portable. It is really the size of your Steam Deck, too. It's not as chunky, but, you know, length and width, you know, length and height, it's the same size, basically. So,
mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like I need to carry around a purse around my house for the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
And I don't even carry a purse in person. Just because the idea of having all my life stuff in a thing that my ADD ass can literally leave somewhere has given me anxiety all my life. So, did you ever pick up a Pro controller?
Yeah, I eventually did, yeah.
Because I did, and when did controllers shoot up to almost $100?
No.
I remember back in the day being able to pick up an extra Super Nintendo one for like $20.
Some of that is just this year.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I know the wave birds were hovering around 40 at the time, which wasn't that bad. But and then the dual shocks kind of hover around 60. And well, they used to hover around 60. Now they're almost $100 too. And I don't understand what's with this controller technology that has made them so damn expensive now.
I don't know that it's anything in particular other than, the current market stuff, but more just that we can slap Pro on it and sell, a more expensive version that's fractionally nicer to the adult gamers who will pay for it. Difference of selling to kids versus selling to adults.
I mean, my God, I hovered over that add to cart button for at least 15 minutes. It's like, do I really want to spend this much?
Yes, you do, because you don't want to be using the regular Joy-Cons.
The Joy-Cons just aren't good.
Well, no, I mean the Joy-Cons are fine. They're better on this because they're, not quite so small. So at least for my hands, they're more comfortable. But that's just me. I don't really want to have to be attaching them, deattaching them every single time you do it. Like it has to repair, like it just like the original Switch did. So it's just kind of like easier if you're playing it in dock mode to just have the controller, have the probe.
What's the battery life on that like?
So far it's been just as good as the original. I mean, it just goes, weeks, months for me without really even needing to charge.
Okay, that's good.
It's not PlayStation. PlayStation is the worst.
Yeah, and I swear my PlayStation 1 has gotten worse since I've got it because, well, I well, one, I think I had a cheap dock, and I don't think it was charging worth a damn. But also, I don't know. It just seems like I'm literally been playing an hour, and it's already bitching at me that it's slow.
See, that's what I would pay for a new controller with a PlayStation. I don't care about having a pro controller. If they actually made a controller with decent battery life, I'd think about it. The XL, that's what you need. We need an XL version of it that'll actually go 20 hours on a charge or whatever.
The Pro Controller Chonk battery, $150. It's like, well, that's a lot for a controller, but I hate having to remember to charge this thing.
It's one of the reasons I don't play PlayStation as much, because it's super annoying if you leave the, you play two nights in a row for a few hours each night and it's just dead. I mean, like my it really will only last 4 or 5 hours for me. It's so terrible.
And I lucked out because when I bought my bundle off of GameStop, it came with two controllers. Granted, it was like a $800 bundle, but it came with that and a couple of games. But because it came with two controllers, I just swapped them out every day. And that's kind of a nice thing to do, but then I don't know if you would want to spend that much for the convenience of having to swap them out.
That's eventually what I gave up and bought a second one and got a dock, and that way I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, it was very annoying.
But also heaven help you if you don't put it on the dock correctly because
I've
I
done
don't
that
know.
before where it's like, oh, I didn't put it in quite right. And
Yeah.
it's, yep, doesn't charge.
Because I had the official one for a while, but eventually the pins wore out on it, and I ended up just going for a cheap one on Amazon. And the one that I bought back like about a year ago just would not seat right. And I ended up replacing it with a different one. And trying to find a decent dock on the Amazon is an endeavor unto itself because of all the dumb looking ones that are like, hey, lots of LED lights. Like, I literally just want something that will I can just throw in, like my phone. But
You
I.
don't want your living room just lit up like a lit up
Like
like Vegas?
a Christmas tree? Not particularly. I mean, I like pretty lights and stuff, but they get distracting when they're in my view for TV.
It can attract your cats, and then they'll knock them off.
Oh, yeah, because that's exactly what I want, is them breaking my expensive electronics.
Yeah. That is the favorite part of cat ownership, right?
There have been a couple of times that Alice was had her paw on my Switch dock while it was plugged in, while I was playing, and I'm like, don't you do it.
They're just fighting entropy, Kelly. They really, really hate high entropy, and they're just trying to get everything to lower entropy levels. That's all. Everything ends up on the floor. It's safer.
Like, oh my God, I love you, cat, but I will murder you if you knock over my Switch dock. She's tried to pull my Steam Deck out off the dock before.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Cat.
Okay. Fair.
So have you cat has your cats tried to destroy any consoles recently?
Mm-mm. No.
While you were playing.
Nope. I'm the one who breaks my consoles. I dropped my Steam Deck on the floor a few weeks ago and cracked the outer shell and needed to replace the right joystick. Which Yeah, it was fine. The Steam Deck's very easily repairable, so I bought a joystick from iFixit and put it in all on my own, and it's fine now. But yeah, I'm the biggest danger to consoles here.
Yeah, you have broken multiple MacBooks.
Yeah, that's true. Coffee. It's true. Why nobody brings me coffee anymore? And I'm a sad.
I did accidentally drop a half can of that can of cup of soda because Arby's cup wasn't secured, and I picked it up and it just kind of spilled on my Steam Deck, and luckily it didn't get into anything. But
the dangers of those low quality Arby's cups.
Yeah, the much cussing was had, let me tell you.
They have the meats, they don't have the good cups.
I was dropping F-bombs loud enough that Vaughn could hear me from downstairs, and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I dropped soda on my Steam Deck. Luckily, nothing was damaged. I was also pissed when Arby's went from Pepsi to Coke. Because I am a Pepsi person.
You're a Pepsi person. Oh, no. Oh, no.
If you guys knew that.
Oh,
Kelly, no.
Are we only Coke people on the RPG?
Well, I was at a conference last week in Atlanta, so that's the land of Coke.
Yeah, I was about to say, I live in the South. This is the land of Coke.
So, of course, when I ordered room service, all they had was Pepsis.
Really?
Yes!
Because when I went to Atlanta, because my home my work's home office is in Atlanta, it's like trying to find a Pepsi is damn near impossible.
All I wanted was a Pepsi.
Just one Pepsi.
I don't know. I assume it's like some sort of agreement contractually with Marriott through, you know, so they have to sell Pepsis or something there. So,
well, yeah, most of the time it's exclusive, either one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very rarely is it ever Pepsi.
Considering we were in walking distance of the world of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Felt weird.
Yeah. And no, I did not go and do the tasting of Coca-Cola because I didn't want to get COVID, so.
You mean Coke-vid? Sorry.
Coke-vid. Uh-huh. Yeah. Thanks. That's funny.
But no, most of the time it seems like the exclusive always is Coke. Regal tried to change to Coke recently, and then the cinemas, and then changed back.
I'll drink either. I don't. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like hardcore about it. It's just given the choice, I prefer Pepsi Zero.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is my drink of choice. So what were you in Atlanta for again?
Work. It was corporate retreat.
Ah, so doing a lot of trust falls?
No, just some executive things, and then I don't know, whatever else. It was fine. I guess we had some educational sessions given by people, and then some strategy meetings, just because a lot of our company's remote, so they wanted to get together, hype people up, have some work meetings that are in person with people who can't usually do that. And it was fine. It was good. But now I'm back. And that was tiring. And so what did I do while I was out there? I played a lot of Dodeca Dragons in my browser. Still into that idle game. And then, and that's IDLE, not IDOL. I have not been playing Umamusume. I have not been playing Final Fantasy XI. I have been playing Quartet, though. I'm in like chapter 9 or 10 of Quartet, so I'm grooving through that game. I really like Quartet. It does hold up. Highly recommend Quartet for folks.
Are you playing with or without Oxford Comma?
With Oxford Comma, of course. Why would I do any other way? Come on.
I honestly don't see why you wouldn't use the Oxford comma.
Exactly. What kind of question is that, Josh?
It's just proper.
Yeah. And then I also have I was playing some Mega Bonk, so still playing the Mega Bonk, and that's been fine too.
Like, man, I've had my mouse hovering over the buy button for that one.
For Mega Bonk, yeah, it's cheap. Yeah. You may as well.
Oh, that's a good question. Did you guys pick up anything in the Steam sale this week?
I did not. If Quartet had been on sale for a little bit, I probably would have picked up that.
Because I still did. I did Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 because both of, well, because for some reason I had Planescape Torment in my library and it was in a bundle with all of those. I only got Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 for like $10. Mm-hmm. And I want to try those at some point. I also picked up Doom Eternal for like $5. Or not Doom Eternal, sorry. The Doom 2016 for like $5. And then just some like random Survivor games that were on sale for like $1. I ended up spending like $30 total on everything and got like 10 games.
Successful Steam sale.
Yeah. Yeah, when things hit, because that's the problem. A lot of the things that I have on my wish list haven't hit impulse buy levels yet, unfortunately. A game that I highly recommend picking up for super cheap on the Steam sale is Control, because I think it's only like $4.
Whoa.
And that is a hell of a game for that price.
It's interesting. I do have Control. I got it at some point. And I started playing it. I need to go back and finish it.
Yeah. I love that game. It is the ultimate telekinesis simulator.
All right.
Like it's because you can put invincibility mode on so that you don't have to worry about dying. Mm-hmm. And just slamming bodies around and seeing how much destruction you can do in a level is some of the most fun stuff I've ever done. But then the story and stuff is excellent, too, because it's all that SCP, X-Files, analog horror kind of stuff that I love. Or if my description doesn't sell you, just look up the Ashtray Maze sequence on YouTube. And that's all I'm
going to say. No, I don't want to do... I need to know
about that sequence?
I know something about that sequence, and I haven't experienced it yet, and I want to experience... Honestly, Kelly, that's the only reason I want to go back to Control is because I didn't get to that. I've only seen the beginning of that maze, and then people talk about the ashtray stuff, and I haven't done it, and it's like, I feel stupid, or feel really missing out.
It is so funny, because that sequence, you're thinking, man, that was awesome, and the character says the exact same thing. And if you wanted to dive your toe into the whole Remedyverse, I think Control is in a bundle with both Alan Wakes for, like, 10.
It's only like loosely, very loosely tied to those.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, it's paranormal stuff and Alan Wake was a horror game. So there's documents that talk about the incident at whatever town Alan Wake takes place. And then Alan Wake 2 has a DLC that is based off of Control. But including one
separate enough, you can totally play Control without playing Alan Wake.
Oh yeah, they're pretty separate, but it's nice seeing those little connections.
Yeah.
And as far as Alan Wake, I gotta say, Alan Wake 1 is a horror game, but it's not like it's more like kind of TV horror. kind of spooky, not necessarily Silent Hill, I'm afraid to go to sleep kind of scary. So Andy might actually get to enjoy it. I don't know how I don't know how scared Andy gets.
For control for Alan Wake, I think he could do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because but my husband, the only horror he really likes is Silent Hill. And even then he like won't play Silent Hill before bed. And Andy's always kind of seemed like my husband, where horror is kind of a nope all around.
Okay. You know what else I did is no, I didn't do anything else. I was enjoying Quartet so much, and I didn't. Ben's my favorite character, and I just wanted to shout out Ben. I think that's it. That's all. Hi.
So Quartet's an experience where you're playing as multiple characters.
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of those, what, like four different stories that converge, right?
Kind of like Octopath. Oh, Quartet. Yeah. That's I was trying to make an Octopath joke, and then I realized, wait, the name of the game is Quartet. That probably has to do with the four characters. That's actually kind of clever now that I think about it. Well, it's definitely on my wish list. And they said that it's a 20-hour game, so I'll have to pick that up and work it in between play sessions. 'Cause it sounds awesome, and I love a good old school RPG. Well, old school RPG asterisk, that's not a Kimco game. Even though I've been playing Kimco games, but
Least you're done with the
not
Kimco
enough to
games for the
really.
moment.
Yeah, for the moment. And that's the hard thing about Kimco games. It's like they're not, well, we've been over this before. They're not terrible. They're just not that interesting either. But I digress. You've been playing more XCOM, haven't you, Josh?
I polished that off.
Oh, you
I
did?
was pretty much right at the end, and boy, those last couple of missions were they were quite the challenge, as you'd expect. But yeah, the last mission, you kind of have to go and kill these three alien creatures, and thank goodness that's like all you have to do. Because they just keep warping in more and more enemies as the mission goes on. So it's kind of one of those where honestly you're almost encouraged to just like quick rush, let's go kill these three guys and just try and survive. I think I lost like 2/3 of my party.
Oh God, that sounds like the like a last Fire Emblem mission where they're constantly spawning.
Yeah. It was incredibly challenging, but fun. So I beat that, and then basically the next day, Final Fantasy Tactics came, and so I booted that up.
Oh, cool.
And I am like, I love what they've done. I think that the voice acting in it is really good. It really kind of like sets the scene for the world. But I am remembering now. I'm having a much clearer memory of like why I 5-houred this game the last time I tried it. Was what was just annoying the heck out of me was the guest characters, at least early on, because so many of these early battles, you've only got six members in your party, and two of them will be AI controlled guest characters, and the AI is so stupid, and even in the remake, the AI is still just as equally stupid. Like you'll have the one mission. As soon as I started the mission, I'm like, I remember this thing. I remember getting really pissed off. I think this may have been where I quit. Where you've got like six, seven enemies like splayed out in front of your forces. And then there's like one enemy archer that's up at the top of like, I think it's a building. And so, like it's just one enemy archer. Like naturally you'd like send one person off to kill him and then just, send the rest of your forces against, the huge force that's right in front of you. Like, no. You've got two
guest characters in this mission, and of course both of them are just going to tail off to the middle of nowhere to go after that archer. And I'm like, great, now I'm outnumbered, you know, almost 2-1 with the rest of the enemies. And I'm like, yeah, this was the point where I got really frustrated, and I think I quit the last time because I was just so annoyed with how dumb the regular AI is. Thankfully, they do have a difficulty slider this time, so you can just like that was one of the first things I did, like just turn it back down to the easier setting, and that makes it a little bit more manageable. Also, cuts down a little bit on how much grinding you have to do between, you know, story missions.
That's good.
Yes, I was very thankful for that. But I don't know how far in I am, like, you know, 6-8 hours, something like that. I'm still in chapter one, so I'm not too far, but it has been a much more, yeah, like I said, I probably only got like 3 or 4 hours in the last time I tried it and just noped out with those guest characters. I still think they're terrible. I wish they would have just, I know why they're guest characters for story reasons, but it is still insanely frustrating that you just can't control the characters, that you don't have control of your whole party, especially when you've only got, it's one thing when you have a guest character in a Fire Emblem game, and you have like 15 characters and it's like, okay, one character's off doing its own thing, whatever, I can manage. When you only got 6 characters on the map and, you know, 2 of them are going off and doing stupid stuff, like it makes those maps incredibly challenging.
I mean, luckily the one that you're talking about that I imagine is giving you the trouble doesn't stick around until pretty much nopes out after chapter 1.
Yeah. Well, They set that up right at the beginning that, you know, Delita is going to be one of the antagonists. And now you're, you know, chapter one, I assume, is like seeing all the backstory of how he gets to where he is, basically.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought he was talking about Argus.
Argus? Yeah, the real. Oh, yeah, I've already got to the point where he's left.
Okay.
Yeah, that turd. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, that character's a prick.
Yeah, very much so. I was kind of surprised there wasn't more just like choices in this game. Is it just all very linear and you're not really like making, I guess I'm coming from like Tactics Ogre where there is much more, you know, like there are plenty of places where you actually have to choose like, you know, X or Y and it makes something of a difference. This one's just much more linear.
Oh yeah, Tactics Ogre, this is not.
Yeah, okay.
Because Tactics Ogre, I know, had points where like the entire dynamic would change depending on what you picked, to the point where they put in that system where you could go back to those branching points.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that here.
No, that's fine. It's just, you know, it's same director. So I'm like, you know, you reach these points and I'm like, I'm almost expecting it. Like, oh, am I going to get to choose which side? No. Okay. It's just straightforward. All right.
Really,
sure if that came in later or not.
Really, a lot of your choice in this game is going to be which side character or which named characters you go after.
Yeah.
And I know certain named characters are pretty strong, except for Cloud for some reason. Cloud's pretty weak when you recruit him. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. And I don't know if they put in the PSP bonus characters where I think you could recruit Balthier from 12.
I don't believe those are in the. I believe a lot of that content is not in there from War of the Lions. There is an option at the beginning of the game. If you prefer to use that translation, you can have the War of Lions translation. But I don't believe it includes that extra content.
Okay. Yeah, because the War of the Lions translation is definitely the better one. It is very Shakespearean.
Yeah, this one, even the newer one still has that feel. It has, there are parts of it that have been changed.
Okay.
I was seeing some people like griping about some of the minor changes in the online, but like I've been very pleased with it so far. Like it definitely has that feel of, you know, it feels like a medieval environment basically. Mm-hmm. And the voice acting all so far has been just excellent.
Yeah, I wonder what changes that people were complaining about.
Oh, there was one where they changed it from like where they said God in the original script and they changed it to something else like slightly different. And people were, you know, it's the internet. People were complaining.
I guess that people would have noticed that. Because I sure as hell wouldn't have. I mean, I guess if you played that game for hundreds of hours like some people have, you probably would, but
yeah, you'll notice all the little slight changes and get upset.
So, and they let you pick between what, the War of the Lions translation and this new one?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you cannot pick the crappy PS1.
No.
One.
That is your two options when you boot up the game.
Good. Friends, don't let friends play the PS1 version.
And then, I mean, like from a performance standpoint, that is the other thing I remembered from the War of the Lions one was just how like slow even like manipulating the camera was. And and this is, as you would expect, it's much better. Like there's no problems with that kind of stuff.
That is good.
I can't remember. Did the PSP version have an overhead view of the map?
I do not remember, to be honest, because I know that you could kind of mess around with the camera and point it in different directions, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I cannot remember if it had that or not, but certainly this version does. It has just a, you know, you can just pull one of the triggers and it gives you an overhead view, which is quite useful for, you know, some of these you know, like tight environments where you've got like really high elevations and then you can't quite see like, okay, where can I actually put my character? You know, it's kind of like those instances where you can't actually get a good camera view. You can just flop to the overhead view and kind of see where you need to go.
Yeah, didn't Tactics Ogre have a button that would automatically swing it to the, yeah.
Yeah, I know the remake did, yeah. Or even the PSP version, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the PSP version did too, so that's good that they put that in there.
The comments are confirming. Yeah, the tactical view is new to this version. Okay.
That's good.
That's my problem, is like I'm almost confusing stuff with Tactics Ogre as well. Because it looks so similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same director, looks so similar. And then it's like, wait, was that in that one or was it? I don't know.
That's good though.
So it is there if you need if you need to play FFT again, Kelly.
I am so tempted. I almost booted it up this week and I got sucked into Pokemon Snap. And with the kind of week I've had, that's very much a game that kind of helps you stay engaged, but you're not so out of it that you can dwell on the bad week you've had.
You also don't have to think too hard about it, or
yeah. It's like I'm just
follow along with a complicated story.
Yeah, I'm just taking pictures.
Pokemon, click. Yes.
Yep. All right. I love satisfying
dopamine.
I love taking pictures anyway, and for the longest time, they said that because of smartphones, that they didn't think people would want to do Pokemon Snap. And it's like, are you kidding me? Because of smartphones, I love taking pictures now more than ever. And it's funny because going through my photos this week, Vaughn adopted Jack at about the same time both of us got smartphones. That was in 2008.
Yeah.
When smartphones finally got kind of affordable. So, I mean, there was no shortage of pictures of the guy. So being able to sort through all those pictures was kind of nice. And basically, like the same, you know what? if they made a Pokemon Snap but for cat photos, that would be like crack for me.
Oh boy. We wouldn't see you again. That was it. We're done. We lost Kelly.
Well, I used to get in trouble when I was a kid for quote unquote wasting film. Because I would take so many pictures of the cats. So digital photography is just, if you're a cat lover, it's a godsend. Because, you know, you can't get good pictures of them while they're awake. All they do is move around. But digital photography, you can take as many pictures as you want.
True.
All you got to worry about is card space. So, yeah, somebody needs to make a Pokemon Snap, but for cats. You're just kind of going around a house taking pictures of cats. I think there is a game like that on Steam, actually. But I'm blanking on the name of it. Hang on, let me go to my wish list and see if I can find it. You guys can talk amongst yourselves.
What do you want to talk about, Josh?
I don't know.
Were we going to bring up kind of the bad Xbox news this week?
Josh, they're making Game Pass expensive.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it's a good thing I canceled it then.
You had already canceled it.
No, I fought through the website being down to cancel it. The news came out, and I'm just like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, when you have such bad news that it crashes your site from the cancellation, that you think that might be a bad decision.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we won't know for a bit, but, you know, like, hey, they increase prices by a third. If 20% of people leave, they could still come out ahead. You know, it's milking your most hardcore people for even more money. And, you know, at a certain point, the numbers quit working, but obviously, Microsoft thinks that's their path forward. Certainly, Microsoft has fallen off this generation in terms of being able to like actually attract a wide audience. It is only the people who are just there for Microsoft anymore.
I don't know who said this, if it was this show or something else I was listening to, but they just never recovered from that Xbox One.
No. I thought they had recovered. They seemed like they were doing well, and now it's like, I guess not. Did they never actually do well? Were we wrong the whole time?
Go ahead.
No, that's certainly the point you can point to where they were, you know, they were at their peak before that, and that was the beginning of them going down. It hasn't been a straight line down, but it's certainly where it inflected.
And then EA being bought by the Saudis, which I don't know how to feel about that.
Oh, man. Well, first off, it's not just that they were bought. It was done in a leveraged buyout where they have loaded up the now private company with like $20+ billion of debt.
Oh, they're doing the Toys R Us model.
Correct.
Oh.
So expect lots and lots of layoffs and cost cutting to try and pay off the massive amounts of junk debt that they've taken out. So it's really high interest rates that they'll be paying off. And so as someone was pointing out, like, yeah, don't expect good things for BioWare. Certainly.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect Madden or, you know, soccer or those kind of properties, but can't be good for BioWare. BioWare is getting taken out back and being shot. It would just from the loans, much less being owned by the Saudis.
It's like I feel like that grave or that whole meme with the hole with all of EA's bodies has just become filled now. It's no longer a hole, it's just a mountain.
EA's always done that. Much less when they weren't, you know. Much less worth they were when they weren't $20 billion in debt and needing to slash everywhere.
So was EA in debt, or was it is it the debt that they took on because of the buyout?
Yeah, because of the buyout.
Okay.
EA was, had like almost no debt, hence what made this so attractive.
I don't understand how this is legal, to be honest.
I
Don't know how this stuff works.
I mean, it's probably legal because the government's effed, but
It is a crazy thing to buy something, but you don't have the money, so I'm going to make the person I'm buying it from take out loans so that I can buy it. That's kind of how a leverage buyout works, which
yeah, that.
is kind of insane when you explain it like that, but that is what is going on. And thus, you don't really have to put up the purchase price for it.
Man. And I know the joke is that EA has been kind of an evil company this whole time, but I just hope that the people working there come out on top. The little guys working, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like from our standpoint with RPGs, I mean, like literally my only hope is that maybe they sell off BioWare, but just for the money. But if they don't, you could, like it doesn't seem like it's going to go well with that kind of debt load, because the money makers for EA are just, Madden, soccer, Battlefield, right? I mean, we were going back. I mean, the Dragon Age games did okay, but probably were lucky to, basically not lose money. Do you have to go back to Mass Effect 3 to actually have like a really profitable, successful game from BioWare?
Yeah, I feel like that was the last one. Well, I mean, we just talked about it on Backtrack that after Mass Effect
Sorry,
3.
sorry to interrupt. I was double checking this. EA lost the FIFA license in 2022.
Oh,
Yeah,
geez.
they still make a soccer game every
Konami
year.
has it now, right? Or no?
I can't remember if that moved over or not, but yeah.
2K Sports.
Oh, okay. But they keep making it. Now it's FC, whatever is what they're calling it, Football Club.
Thank you, Tim. Did not know that. But no, you're right. Mass Effect 3 was BioWare's last very successful game because was Andromeda or Inquisition after that?
I think Inquisition came and then Andromeda. I don't remember the exact. They were close in time, weren't they? They were both PS4 early.
Because both games were kind of notorious for being janky. But
Dragon Age.
I didn't think that Inquisition did that well either.
Yeah, Inquisition was 2014. Andromeda was 2017. So Andromeda was later.
All right. So what is the actual news story about the Xbox? What is the price now?
It's $30 for Ultimate now, up from 20.
That's a lot. Did the
Yeah.
other prices change?
Yes, so premium's up to 15 and then essential is 10.
I forgot, wasn't there like a really good deal for the year?
Well, the way to do it was always to find it. You could find like 3 month or 6 month passes, and then they would go on sale, and you could kind of like bundle them together. Or there were ways to like buy months on different parts, and then like convert it over to Game Pass.
That's what I did with recently, but
Yeah, that was always the way to get it cheapest.
And I guess I was confused because I was seeing people on Reddit saying that it went from like $50 a year to $30 a month, but that's because they rolled Live into it. And that was a point of confusion for me, like, wait, what? Game Pass is $50 a year? Oh no, it's because it's people that have been subscribed to Live since the original Xbox that have canceled. Because I know Vaughn and I used to wait to get like Xbox Live gift cards off of Amazon for like $40 a year. Of course, the only reason why we had Live was so that we could watch Netflix on our Xbox. And
those days, don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a horrible business model, but whatever. It was cheaper than cable.
And now we spend just as much on all the streaming services as we used to on cable.
Mm-hmm. Things come full circle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have feedback that's hopefully
yeah,
good.
Yeah, let's take a look at the feedback. Uh-huh.
It's kind of a slow news week, if you guys can't tell. We asked, have you missed a game feature system that makes the game that made the game easier?
Yeah.
And inspired by Josh's, I forgot to upgrade something. Why is my game so hard? issue. Because I just thought that was funny. Because like I've done that many times. From Strawberry Eggs, the first Fire Emblem to have a turn rewind feature was actually FE Echo, Shadows of Valentia. It was called Mila's Turn Wheel. So, there you go. Anyway, while it wasn't a major feature, when I played Pokemon Omega Ruby, I kept forgetting about the new Soar ability and kept choosing to use the Fly HM instead. Eggs, I did the same thing. I really only used the Soar ability when I was hunting for legendaries. Because it had those islands that would pop up that would have rare Pokemon and occasionally legendaries. The Fly HM was just so much handier. Pokemon has never traditionally had world maps, so I couldn't orient myself on that map. And you two probably have no idea what I'm talking about.
No.
So Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire on the 3DS.
Wait, I played one of those.
Yeah. It was the remakes of Ruby and Sapphire.
Uh-huh.
And it had a feature where you could use Latias or Latios as basically like an airship in a traditional RPG,
mm-hmm.
where you could fly around the world map. But Pokemon games have never had that. Traditionally, they've always just had the Fly HM.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, what that feature was for was more for finding islands on the world map to catch rare Pokemon and legendaries.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, there you go. From Shaman, it took until the first part of the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC launched before I figured out how to access the Move Relearner function, since it wasn't tied to an NPC, but was rather in the Pokemon menu. And until the second part of the DLC before I found out that it extended to moves taught by TM and then overwritten. Yeah. you couldn't always just swap out your moveset in a Pokemon game. You had to specifically go to an NPC. Because in Pokemon, for those that don't play Pokemon, you can only know 4 moves at a time. But a Pokemon moveset can be like almost 20 moves. So if you wanted to relearn something that you had deleted at a level up before, you always had to go to an NPC.
Yeah.
But I think starting in Pokemon Legends, they made it so that you could just swap out their moveset I don't think you could do it like in the wild, because it would always be at half PP or half point able of uses, as it were. But, yeah, being able to swap out the moveset was like a literal game changer.
Yeah, like it should just be how it is with Pokemon.
Yeah, it was so much nicer, especially if you know, I've always had the issue where I got a new move thinking that it was going to be better and it had like recoil or some other mechanic that I couldn't stand. And I regretted that choice. And yeah, I could see how somebody who's played Pokemon for forever, like me or Shaman, wouldn't realize that you could just not swap then. So That's funny. And then from Tracer 3, I remember playing Xenogears before I accidentally found the basement in the lighthouse. Emeralda Kazim before her transformation was okay, but not one of my go-to characters. After she became an adult, I used her way more often. I was confused by this feedback. I played Xenogears, but I have no idea what they're talking about. You might have to elaborate, Tracer, unfortunately, because I have no clue.
I'm going to look them up. Oh.
I'm gonna say, where's our remaster of Xenogears?
This is this character is actually a colony of nanomachines, and apparently you have to do something to get her to grow up and then she can be a character in your party. I don't think I ever got her.
I don't recognize that name at
Yeah, it's
all.
very hidden, I guess.
She is not a hidden character. She is a very late game character.
Well,
Okay.
okay.
The adult form, though, is like super late game. It's an optional area right before the final dungeon.
Oh, right. So who cares at that point? Because you're just watching somebody talk to you while sitting on a chair explaining the plot. So.
See, it would be nice if they
Fixed it? Yeah.
fixed that game if they did a remaster.
Yeah.
But that's a big ask. I don't, is that team even around anymore, or are they working for Nintendo now?
Well, I mean,
That's Monolith.
yeah, there's Monolith. Yeah. Is I making Xenoblade? There's still Xeno games coming out, Kelly.
Yeah, I know.
So it's them, and they I think they've decided not to go back to those original IPs because Square and or Namco owns them, right? So
So you got rights issues.
it's okay. They're still making weird stories with
Max.
adorable characters who have looped or lived lives, multiple reincarnations. Things are happening. Just they're still doing it, just in different settings now.
But no cute animal crucifixion.
No, but one of them builds their own anime waifu maid. That count? No?
Not exactly.
No, all right.
There's a big difference between cute waifu maid and clearly mascot character
Well, no, I mean
crucified.
they have a whole race of mascot characters now.
Well, yeah, but the thing with that scene that I'm talking about was that they crucified the mechs, but Choo Choo didn't have a mech form, he just got bigger. So if you had that character in the party at that time, he
Yeah.
was nailed up on the cross and it was very weird.
Yep.
That game was just weird in general.
No.
I need to play it again with adult eyes so that I can actually get what's
No,
going on.
I think we need a better version now.
You
It's
think
it
we
was
need a
it was interesting at the time because nobody had done like weird deep stories like this, but now it's like we have. So we need some, you're going to be comparing it to how to properly do it all the time.
Well, you have a story like Final Fantasy Tactics to where it was a deep story but a terrible translation. And then you have a game like Xenogears where it's a decent translation but the story makes no sense.
Can we talk about the translation?
For Xenogears or Tactics?
Yeah, for tactics. I have a problem with this because when you start up the game in Final Fantasy Tactics, they present you with the enhanced mode and the classic mode, right? And then below that, they have an about button. You click the about button to find out, like, what is the enhanced mode doing? What is the classic mode doing? You know, let's explain it. You go over and you click the classic mode just to see, oh, what's the old one about? All right, it's the same gameplay you love from the PlayStation with the renowned War of the Lions translation. It's like, okay, does that mean they're going to do the War of the Lions cutscenes? Because some of the gameplay was replaced with those cutscenes. So I don't know how that's going to work. So, but whatever, they say they're using the Word Alliance translation there, so that's clear. At least I know what it is. It's fully established. You can watch people play through Word Alliance, see what that translation is, all that stuff. That's on YouTube, etc. Then I go to the other one that says Enhanced. And it's talk about, oh, the game's play is better, and this is the new one. If it's a first-time playing, you should probably play this, or whatever. Stuff like that that they're saying. And then they get to the mentioning the translation, and they said, the translation has had many adjustments and additions. And I'm just sitting here reading that phrase over and over in my head. Adjustments and additions. And I'm thinking about the original, the original translation of Final Fantasy Tactics. And I'm thinking, if I needed to retranslate or remake that game, I would need to do a full retranslation. Obviously, we did already because we have the War of the Alliance translation, which these guys clearly know about because they've included it in the classic mode. So everyone knows the game needs a new translation versus the original. Mm-hmm. But then to say all you've done with the translation is adjustments and additions, I am sorry, there's no way adjustments and additions does enough lifting for how much work the original Tactics translation needs. You need more than adjustments and additions. You need retranslation. You need refactor, get us a whole new second translation. Yeah, but like, what do you mean adjustments and additions? What the hell are you talking about? Is that just a new way of saying retranslated? And like, if it's, I'm sitting here like, I don't understand. What are they saying? Like, are they trying to pay homage to the original translation, which nobody thought was good? Like, what do we need that for? Like, did they retranslate it or not? And I still don't have a clear answer. I've been sitting here, I watched some videos the other day of like side by side, like here's the original, here's War of the Lions, here's the Ivalice Chronicles version. And it's like the new one, the adjustments and additions, it's like it just keeps swapping between some of the War of the Lions lines and some of the original lines, and then something that's just slightly tweaked and new. It's like, what is it? Is it the Mad Libs translate? What is this? I just wish it was explained more clearly, and I'm not buying additions and adjustments. So, like, what did they do? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, you haven't been playing it, so.
Well, and I haven't played enough of the original to be able to tell you the difference.
Well, can you understand what's going on?
Oh yeah.
Okay, then it's better than the original.
Not, yeah, then it's not the original.
No.
Maybe it's more like they updated and tweaked the War of the Lions translation.
But they don't say that. Like,
they don't.
And see, to be honest, because it's been so long since I played the PS1 version, I don't even know what was necessarily bad about the PS1 version.
It's literally unintelligible at times. Like, you're talking about a deep political plot with twists and turns, and like, you don't even know who they're talking about most of the time. And by the way, here's a crucified choo-choo who died for your sins in Xenogears. Enjoy that stream. So, you know, there's, I'm just confused. That was my big confusion. It's not going to stop me from playing the game or anything like that. It's just, I saw that. I'm like, why is that what they called it? Adjustments and additions. What?
That's not even marketing. That's like, you know, adjustments, kind of like tiptoeing around what they did.
Yeah. Why is that the best? Why is that what they landed on? Like, anyway, so obviously I can't go by that as to really explain what the new translation is or is not. I need to go by somebody who's played through it and documented the differences. And I don't think we're there yet. When I search for videos on YouTube, it's like, here's this infinite XP glitch, and I'm like, that is the same thing we did in the original, bud. Mm-hmm. It's just like some of the aspects are slightly different now, where the one ability has a different name, and it's like, but it's the same thing. That's not a glitch or an exploit. That's just grinding in a corner.
Well, yeah, what I did during the War of the Lions version was just change everybody into frogs.
Nice.
And then berserk them, and then turn my time mages to stone, and just let the frogs beat each other and leave it on overnight.
What does...
It's a JP.
What does that do?
It's a JP farm.
Is it?
Yeah.
But nobody dies?
Yeah, nobody dies. Frogs hit for one hit point.
Yeah.
But the JP doesn't adjust. This was the old version. They could have fixed it. Mm-hmm, the JP doesn't adjust depending on how much damage you do.
It's based on the level, relative level of you versus the thing you're hitting.
Yeah, so if you're doing one damage and the enemy is doing one damage, then you're just prolonging this fight while gaining a whole bunch of JP.
But what's up with the time mages being stoned aspect?
I can't remember. I think it's the time mages that you have to have at least one time mage to keep alive to berserk. And I think you had to use a time mage to stop whatever you were trying to hit.
Well, who's eating? So they're hitting the enemies and they're just not dying, but they're not killing the frogs either?
Yeah.
Oh, because they're frog too.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think. It was a method in one of the strategy guides.
See, now that's an interesting method, at least.
Yeah.
You get some automation, it does it for you overnight. I did it the hard way where I just threw rocks at each other.
Yeah, because that's what you did back in the day.
It's what's being recommended now.
Throw rocks.
Throw a rock.
Throw rock, get an EXP.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we start the news then?
Yeah, that was all of our feedback.
All right.
Oh, and the game that I was searching for that is a cat photography game is called Neko Odyssey.
Neko Odyssey. Is that safe to search for? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Neko Odyssey.
Slightly unusual casual adventure game where the main gameplay centers around taking pictures of cats.
Wait, so it's already a game and we haven't lost you to it?
Yeah, I need to get it.
Oh, you don't have it? How do you not have this? What the hell are you... What's wrong with you? It's even got a demo!
Yeah. No, I need to play it. I have so much stuff to play, Chris.
Mm.
Plus, I didn't get it yet because I knew I probably would lose myself to it.
All right.
But as far as news goes, as I open
meow.
Well, so speaking of obsessions, a double obsession, Final Fantasy's Monster Hunter Wilds collaboration is releasing next week.
I don't understand how many times this has come out now, because I feel like every week I'm being told that this is out or that it's been out and I haven't played it yet. So I am completely lost now at which collaboration event is live right now in which game.
The Wilds collaborate in Monster Hunter Wilds. The collaboration with Final Fantasy is live now.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I saw people on Blue Sky talking about fighting something big in, I think, Omega in Monster Hunter.
Okay.
But the Final Fantasy one isn't. It goes live next week, and that's where you're fighting Guardian Arkveld.
Oh, that'll be, yeah.
And you're getting weapons and armor inspired by Monster Hunter. But the thing relevant to my interest is the mount that's a cart.
Cats driving you around?
Yeah. A bunch of palicos pushing you around in a cart like you died.
And I have to get that. All right, I'm resubscribing to Final Fantasy.
I want that too, but I think you have to be max level to get it, and I'm still in Shadowbringers.
Well, you get a bit, get cracking.
I know, but other things to play.
Nope, this is it.
No time.
The cat mount, Kelly. Think of the cat mount.
Well, why don't you pay my salary first so that I can not have to work, so that I can spend all this
time. Oh, you have to do it on hard difficulty. Oh, jeez. Yeah, Tam's telling us you have to be max level, have good gear. So, look at that cart. Oh my gosh. And it flies! And do it on the hard difficulty. That is incredible.
Like, I don't know how hard that stuff is to do on hard difficulty, if it's like the equivalent of Mythic and WoW.
It's probably not that hard, relatively. I don't think it's an extreme challenge or anything, but okay. It does mean you'll need to know how to do the fight. You won't be able to mess up much. So.
Well, maybe.
Oh, it's an extreme, says Tam. So you really do need to know the fight. It'll be better if you're doing it with friends, because then, you know, when you screw up, it won't be as frustrating. If you're going to do it with a pickup, look to that be like a 2-hour affair as you guys die and try over and over again. Oh, and you only have 4 party members. Nice.
It is
totally doable. You're just gonna have to, you know, try and work at it. So, but
yeah, I'm only basing this based on the last time they did a Monster Hunter collab,
mm-hmm.
which was the Rathalos. So, yeah. There's a chance.
Is that one still in the game? Like, you could still go do it or no?
Yeah, you can still do the Rathalos.
So there's a chance you could overlevel this eventually, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're going to have to wait an expansion or two.
I might just wait to over.
I'm going to stand by. Like, the biggest obstacle for you is leveling up, Kelly. Like, that's clearly the issue, which means like you have lots of story to do. Yeah. Sorry. But you know, you get in the future when you do get leveled up. Yeah, because, you know, just continuing not to play is somehow going to make you at max level eventually, right?
Yeah.
No.
I know. I just, once again, salary time.
Yeah. All right. So once you get paid for playing 14, you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
All right. Lock it in.
Well, you can pay my salary.
Why am I paying your salary? I don't want to pay your.
I don't know.
But then stop.
You're the one that wants me to play all these games.
You want that mountain. You know it.
I know I want it.
What is the next game?
Save Seeker demo available. A demo for the turn-based RPG Save Seeker is available on PC and Mac. It lets you play through the beginning of the game, which is expected to release next year.
Yeah, but what's the hook on this one?
Let's see. It is the adventure of a little girl and her toy dragon sidekick who have to set out to stop her father, who is a time traveler that was a hero but is also destroying the world.
Gotta beat dad.
You gotta beat dad, and the sidekick used to be dad's sidekick, so like he knows everything that happened somehow. I don't know. Because, you know, time travel weirdness. Anyway, this is a release trailer. It'll be out when?
Next year.
All right.
Well, I see a cat with a hammer in the trailer.
Yeah. Yep. And some frog knights and a tin man and who knows, man. Lots of things.
Is this a turn-based RPG? Yeah,
it is. It looks like it, yeah.
Looks cute. I couldn't tell if there was like farming stuff going on. I don't think so, though. I'm going to wishlist this because it looks cool. Oh, it's already on my wishlist, apparently. It's what happens when you work for an RPG site. Underwater Ray Romano 2, Zan 2 is getting an international PC release.
It's a hack and slash spinoff of the Underwater Ray Romano series.
Yeah, it was like a remake, essentially. They took the original tactical and visual novel and kind of remade it into a hack and slash, and also kind of like added a lot more kind of like animated scenes to it as well. So this was already out on PlayStation, and now the PC version is coming out internationally.
Came out in Japan like 5 years ago, it looks like. Or 4 years ago. Sorry. Cool. So if you've been wanting more Underwater Romano, you'll get it. Wait, when? When? Did we say a date? No date.
No date yet.
Just, it's coming.
It's coming. Eventually.
The next one is going to be like, you're just going to have to go read this. They revealed the voice cast for Masquerade, Vampire the Masquerade, Bloodlines 2. You know that game that you thought has been canceled 2 or 3 times already, but is still coming out?
They totally swear it's coming out October 21st.
Yep. I mean, they have voice actors, like, names that, do I recognize?
recognize any of these.
Yeah, I'm having trouble, the same trouble. I'm trying to recognize any of these voice actors or actresses, and I don't. But, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to be bad or anything. It's just being like, they could make these names up, and I wouldn't know. Searching for them, though, they seem to be real people names. So if they made it up, they went and found real actors and did it that way, which would make no sense. So I'm betting these are like real. Should I know any of these names, Josh? No.
I'm not a voice actor person, so I don't recognize any of them.
All right. Every one of them, I'm like Googling and they're like, they look like supporting actors in some movie or another. So it's like, that's cool. Like, we got like talent in this game. Anyway, anything new about the game itself?
Nah.
All right. So October 21st, see if it actually happens. You going to get it, Kelly? Are you into vampires?
I feel like I want to play the original game first.
Okay.
I mean, I it's been a long time, so I don't know if these tie into each other. I've heard about the original game, and I've always been curious about it.
Yep. I mean, that's where I'm at, and so since I have no real tie to the old one, I'm not looking forward to this for any particular reason, but if it's good, that's cool. And I, too, would like to know if, like, you need to play the first one. I assume not. I guess we'll find out.
Did you have goth friends back in the day that tried to get you into an actual game of this?
No, I did not. Nobody tried to actually play tabletop vampires with me.
It's not even tabletop. It's like LARPing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I've always heard it being more of a LARPing thing. That you have to.
Vampire the Masquerade is a tabletop role-playing game created by Mark Reinhagen and released in 1991 by White Wolf Publishing, the first of several storyteller system games. So I wonder if the way you do it is a bit more role-play than other games or something.
Because what I heard is that you can't have like real prop weapons. You have to make index cards that say like sword.
I think you have friends who were doing something else.
Well, no, I heard about this on the internet too. I honestly don't know.
There's tabletop and a LARP for vampire. Okay.
Okay. So I'm not crazy.
Apparently. And somehow this has been integrated into the World of Darkness things from White Wolf, which is, yeah, all right, anyway.
Yeah, White Wolf had several RPGs that kind of tied into each other. Like there's Werewolf the Apocalypse, Mage the Ascension, or Mage the something, and then there's one that didn't do well but was very interesting called Wrath or Wraith, where you're playing as a ghost.
Okay.
I have that book because it's kind of a neat concept.
Under the title Mind's Eye Theater, The Masquerade, White Wolf also provided a live-action role-playing game in the same setting using their Mind's Eye Theater system. There we go. That would be the LARP, it looks like.
Yeah, the ghost one was interesting because there's, like, the afterlife in it, but also the after-afterlife.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We should... All right. Let's get something more mundane that we're used to, Kelly.
Rune Factory Guardians of Azuma 1.1 update has been released. It includes four extremely difficult boss gauntlets that can be tackled after completing the main storyline, a new development zone for Summer Village with an expanded maximum facilities total, expanded storage, increased maximum bond level, and new recipe rewards. So it sounds like they kind of made the game a little bit easier by increasing some of this stuff. Yay, nay?
Yeah, it's not for me. I don't know. If you're into the new Rune Factory, there you go. Patch is out.
I'm told that their new Rune Factory is very good.
I will believe you. Hmm. What if I'm more into Cthulhu, though, Kelly?
That's a good question. Are you more into Cthulhu than
Not
Mind
really, but
Factory?
if I was, this next story is for me, right?
Cthulhu Mythos ADV Lunatic Whispers in the Isle of Uberhoth getting a console release next
That
week.
is not how that is pronounced, I bet.
No, that's another underwater Ray Romano.
Ubohoth. Uberhoth is where where you drive a land speeder around and deliver things to the rebels.
There you go. So what is this about? This trailer
It's a
even looks
visual
weird.
novel, tabletop style RPG that they are releasing called Cthulhu Mythos ADV Lunatic Whispers and Cthulhu Mythos ADV The Isle of Ubohoth. They are going to be a bundle on PS4, 5, and Switch on October 9th. Multiple languages, English, Japanese, Chinese. It came out in PC a while ago, so this is a console release. And
Yeah.
2022 and 2024, respectively, for the first two games on PC. So now you're going to be able to get them on Switch and PlayStation. And then you can play these visual novel things, puzzle game things. These look like Andy games, actually. I wonder if it's not too creepy.
Yeah, there's some creepiness here.
Creepy can be okay. It just is it nightmare fuel is the question.
It's Japanese creepy,
Oh,
so.
that can be Japanese creepy can be pretty creepy.
The
Japanese.
walls
have eyes in one part of it,
Oh,
so
dear.
that's creepy.
They're watching you.
See, Japanese creepy to me skirts this line between creepy and goofy.
No. Oh dear. Do we need to? Did we already talk about this next one?
Pale coins?
Oh, the next one I have in my queue is the EA sale, but
Oh, we already talked
we
about
covered it,
that.
right? Yeah.
We covered EA and Game Pass, yeah.
Okay, I was like, did we get into enough of the politics there? But probably not. But we're not going to. All right. What are pale coins then? Is it a new cryptocurrency?
Pal World
Yeah, is it
getting
pale
in?
world coins? Yeah.
No.
Invest in this game that we're never going to take out of early access, get sued by Nintendo, and then release a sequel and still not take the original out of early access. You know?
The Pal World way.
The pale world methods. Yeah. Now, this is a Souls-like game, isn't it? Called Pale Coins.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got a rocking
Launching
soundtrack.
next month. Has pixel art style, which looks kind of cool. And yeah, that comes out on October 22nd.
So overhead, yep. Oh, you got a dot. That dragon just punched that man. You had to dodge it. Okay, a lot of cutscenes. Oh, we got a giant skill tree. And a hook shot. And yeah, so. All right, overhead 2D view, Souls-likey hard game. So look forward to it. October 22nd.
Yay. Outward 2 is releasing in summer 2026.
The only other genre of game that exists besides Souls-like, a survival crafting game.
I was going to say the name Outward sounded familiar, but.
Yeah. It's a fantasy survival crafting game. So now we're doing a second one.
Okay.
It's like, what if somebody tries to actually have decent art assets in their survival game?
Oh,
That's
instead of
always
it
been my
just.
take on it. It just, these ones tend to look nicer.
Instead of just being blocks like Minecraft? See, I had never heard of. Well, I mean, I'd seen the name come up, but I thought it was just a generic fantasy game. I didn't know it was like a survival.
I mean, it's a generic fantasy survival crafting game, Kelly. It can
Okay.
be both. That said, I haven't played the first one. I haven't played the new one, obviously. So take a look, see if it's your thing. It has combat and stuff in it, so I guess that makes it more like a Valheim-like instead of a mine. Well, I guess Minecraft is combat too. So I don't know. All these games have combat, don't they?
Yeah.
Part of the survival. You can set up traps and stuff, but in this thing that looks like a in-game fight, but is pretty clearly a rendered cutscene for the trailer, so I don't know what to trust. Summer of next year.
It also has co-op, including split-screen co-op.
And they're going to do a playtest. When? You can sign up for a playtest. That's about it. Cool. Sign up for Steam and the official website for a playtest at some point in the future. Kelly, I want a Fanta.
You want a Fanta? Do you not have Fantas in your house?
No, I have no Fantas in my house. Where can I go to get a Fanta?
Fantaland.
Oh!
But don't get lost.
Oh, all right. That was a dumb joke. The game's name is Lost in Fantaland.
It looks like a traditional tactics-based RPG, and it's available on October 9th.
But it's a roguelike deck builder.
Oh, okay.
With character portraits that look like they're straight out of Final Fantasy Tactics. So, tactics roguelike is an interesting idea. It's probably been done before, and I'm just forgetting them, but it looks neat. Deck building roguelike tactics. Let's see, you just said October 9th? Man. So it's been in early access for a while, so we could probably see how it's been doing. Very positive, all reviews. Okay. Early access for about a year.
Looks neat.
1.0 now available. Oh, it's already out. It's out of early access. Wait. Which released for PC. I'm so sorry.
It's kind of going to come on PS4, PS5, and Switch next week.
Sorry. So it's been out for a year. I just forgot about it. And it's coming out on the consoles next week, like you said. Okay. And it's on sale right now. I feel like I should play this at some point. Oh, well.
We've got Lords of Ravage launching in October.
Lords of Ravage.
A strategic turn-based RPG for Steam. It comes out on October 15th, and a demo is available now. And you are a Dark Lord who would normally be the final boss, and it lets you control one of three lords looking to progress the scheme that would defeat the heroes.
Wait, so you're the bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're developing a shadow empire.
And you're trying to beat up the other shadow empires?
I think so. You can pick from...
Then you can be Lord of the Shadows, but I think that's a different video game.
This actually looks kind of neat. Lords of Ravage. Okay. Be the big bad guy of the story. Call upon an army of minions.
There's a demo now. We need Dalendar. He would have played it. Is this card-based? Is this a card-based deck builder?
Does it say? I can't tell. I don't think it's necessarily a deck builder. It looks like it plays more like a turn-based strategy game where you're summoning minions.
All right. Lady Death would rather play Lord of the Dance. They want to be Michael Flatley.
The Steam description, become the final boss, play any way you want, and combine followers from different factions and win spectacular turn-based battles, expand your empire of darkness, and seek a powerful artifact that can change the fate of the world.
All right.
Gives me Dungeon Keeper vibes, but more turn-based, less RTS.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Hey, if you've been waiting to play Clair Obscur, but for some reason you're only limited to GOG.com, well, it is now available on GOG.com.
That very unique subset of people.
Yeah.
Who are adamantly opposed to Steam.
There are people like that? Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, of course, people can find a reason to hate anything. I just tend to be Steam or bust unless I find a really good deal on one of the other sites.
Well, in that case, it's got a 10% launch discount, so...
Yeah, $44.99. Standard edition. The $60 version includes additional hair style outfits and hairstyles. And then Moonlighter 2, the Endless Vault Early Access released, has been pushed to November. Specifically on November 19th. It was previously planned to launch on October 22nd. And this is a sequel to Moonlighter, which was a sharp one part shopkeeping, one part dungeon crawling. And I think your husband played this.
Uh-huh. Yes. He loved it. So I think he's pretty looking forward to this one. Some people are sad that it's in 3D now.
Yeah, because the original one was a
2D thing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they probably have more of a budget now.
Yeah, and but like the question is, will the gameplay be less accessible to people who enjoy the 2D version? Which, I don't know. We'll see.
Don't know. Guess we'll have to play the wait for the early access to find out. Godbreakers is launching later this month on October 23rd. A world where humankind has been annihilated by AI, and you control vessels of humanity brought back by celestial beings to destroy the AI.
So it's a real story.
Yeah.
Nonfiction.
Shocking, right. Shockingly close to home, given how much AI has become a thing. I don't know, can you comment on this, given that you work in AI?
I welcome our future AI overlords. I look forward to working with them in peace.
Well, just be nice to the AI robot. Otherwise, well, I don't know. Maybe it'll spare you. Maybe it'll make you one of the four people left on Earth.
I just think it's funny. Like, if everyone's dead, like, what's the point of coming back to punish the AI? Like, they already won. What are you going to do? Everyone's still dead.
Vengeance, I guess.
All right.
Here's
the other thing taking over the world. Collector's editions.
Oh, yay.
Our weekly collector edition. When is it this week?
Anima Gate of Memories 1 and 2 Remaster is launching in November for PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox. And it's got a physical collector's edition that includes a standard edition with the illustrated instruction manual, art book, CD soundtrack, collectible pen and keychain, and four character cards with two art prints. Anima Gate of Memories is a adaptation of a Anima Beyond Fantasy tabletop RPG. I guess it was an action RPG.
I don't remember.
This is another one of those games that I see on PSN all the time, and just like, okay, could be interesting. It's not impulse buy price, but the enhanced edition take kind of spit shines the original PS4 one and combines both games.
And it looks like it's going to be $80, the collector's edition.
It's not much for a collector's edition, but I guess since it's a remaster, that's...
Yeah, well, the standard edition's only $35.
Nice. So.
Demio is crossing over with Dungeons & Dragons and getting a November date.
What's Demio or Demio?
A VR tabletop RPG.
Oh!
Oh.
So this crossover is combining Demio's gameplay system with Dungeons & Dragons classes, actions, and lore. The game will be available for PC, PS5, and MetaQuest.
So is this VR only? Oh, no, there is a non-VR version, PC version. Yeah. That's what I thought.
I mean, if you don't have that, no one will play it.
Yeah.
The game's available for PC, PlayStation 5, MetaQuest for $30, and there you go. I guess play it on Steam if you don't want to use VR.
See, yeah. I have the original game for my MetaQuest. I wonder if I could like pay to upgrade to the D&D version or if it's a separate game.
From what I can tell, it looks like its own game, but
okay.
Can't tell you for sure because I don't have a MetaQuest. Well, actually, Andy does. I'll ask him later, maybe.
Stray Children is coming out on PC and the Switch at the end of this month. This is by the developer who made Moon Remix RPG and Dandy Dungeon.
Okay.
It has the art style of Moon, the kind of high-res PS1 art style. And it's about a boy where you get sucked into a TV and you're in a strange land populated by children and haunted by adults.
And thus it has a lot of that moon, same sort of thing where you can talk to the enemies rather than even fighting them.
Yeah, it looks like a 3D Undertale.
Yeah.
Which is weird, which is interesting circular thing or full circle thing going on because Moon heavily inspired Undertale. So the fact that you're dodging enemies and bullets in this one is kind of neat. Also, the main character looks like Snoopy to me.
Did have some Snoopy vibes.
Yeah. Because all you see is a dog nose sticking out of a hoodie.
Giant snout.
And then finally, Vargas the Riven's Well. I went full Elmer Fudd there. Vargas the Riven's Realm at
Vagris.
Vagrus at the Heart of Ruin DLC is releasing this month on October 22nd.
Don't know Vagris or Vagris.
Turn-based dark fantasy RPG that originally launched for PC and Mac in 2021 and then came out on all the consoles.
Oh, okay. Side view 6x6. So, all right. The side view is like Valkyrie Profile or Mega Man Battle Network, but it's very turn-based, card-based, it looks like. Or turn-based, pen and paper-based? Goodness gracious. All right. Well, anyway, DLC for it. It looks neat. I want to know if it's good. Well, I guess I don't have time to play it anyway, but maybe it is, and I'd be interested in it. The Heart of Ruin. All right.
I guess you'll have to see.
We'll have to find out. Oh, Kelly.
and that was all of
That's all the news that isn't.
So now I have to tell you what's coming out this week, huh? What do we got? We've got not much.
Slow week.
Is Blue Protocol Star Resonance coming out? Is that really coming out this week? I don't know. We'll have to see. And then we got the Cthulhu Mythos ADV Lunatic Whispers and Isle of Ubenhoth. That's out this week. Lost Eidolon's Veil of the Witch comes out this week. Comes out of early access. That's tactical role playing. Rise Eterna 2 tactical role playing out for like all the systems this week. What else? Wizard 101 is coming to consoles. Oh boy.
Was that the comedy RPG?
No, I think it's like a free to play for kids, more or less, who go to wizard school. MMO. I didn't know that. Is this a sequel to Yooka-Laylee? Yooka-Replay-Lee? I don't know what's going on with
Yeah, it
that.
actually does sound like a sequel to Yooka-Laylee,
It might
or
be.
it could be an HD remaster.
Yooka-Replay-Lee. All right. Battlefield 6. Disgaea 7 Complete comes to the Switch 2. So, if you want some Disgaea this week, there you go. And is that it? Is that it? Is that all we got? What else? Anything else upcoming? Oh, Digimon Story Time Stranger out this week. Who's been waiting for more Digimon Story? That's a big one.
We have a review of that coming up.
Huh. Shrine's Legacy on PC. Cairn Mathera's Curse. Absolum for multiple platforms. And that's it. Shrine's Legacy is a SNES-era-inspired 16-bit RPG. And Cairn Mathera's Curse is... I don't know. It's a... Let's see. Turn-based RPG. Indie thing with SNES-style graphics as well. Very, very Earthbound-looking game. So, got some indie options. You got some AAA-ish options. You got... Potentially a new MMORPG for the West? That can't be happening. Blue Protocol can't possibly be coming out this week, right?
I honestly don't know.
Coming out, is it Blue registered now? October 9th. Yeah. Is this a oh, is this a what kind of MMO is this? Oh yeah.
Mobile.
Yeah, it's on mobile as well, so I'm very scared. Is this free to play garbage? Like, what is this? Let's see. Let's go to Steam. Yeah, it's free to play. So lots of dailies. But it's the anime MMO. Who's excited? There's
someone flying through the air on a watermelon.
There you go. Perfect. Listen, we just saw in Final Fantasy 14 the Monster Hunter cart being used as a flying mount, all right?
Fair.
Look at them. They're riding little piggies. That looks great. Very cute. Blue Protocol this week. That's a big one. I'm probably going to try it because it's an MMO. All right. What's wrong with me, Kelly?
I'm sure your husband asks that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now we have... we already talked about this, but the next story is about Cairn, Mathayr's Curse, which is out this week. So we already mentioned that.
Did you open up the stories in the wrong order or something?
No, because it's early access, I guess. It's yes? Did I? No, I'm so sorry. I opened that up while looking for info on Cairn. I'm an idiot. All right. Lost in the Open is next, right? That's the next one? Okay. Whew, I'm back on track. Roguelike tactical RPG in low fantasy world. Let's see, what's this look like? We got a lot of line drawn arts with like calligraphy or something, or I don't know how. Is this charcoal art? I don't know. I can't describe art. You're an artist, you should know, Kelly.
It looks more, let me see. It's more like charcoal drawings.
So charcoal, okay, cool. Alright. And then you have a tactical map with and like recruiting, and this looks very intense and PC RPG like. So check it out. See if you're interested in supporting it in early access. It's gonna be $16 on early access with a 10% discount until midweek. Super Robot Wars Y got a review, and joining us to talk about it is Robert Albright.
Robert Albright.
That was supposed to be much more smooth than it sounded, but... All right, I'm going to tell you the most important thing is that this game has the G Gundam guy in it, so I'm very happy about that. Did Tam actually fall asleep? Okay, he was going to talk to us.
Sam reviewed this.
Yep.
I was dozing off during the announcements. I will admit that.
All right, but Tam.
Luckily, I was also muted, so you guys didn't hear me snoring either.
I have one question for you, Tam. Is how good is the G Gundam representation in Super Robot Wars Y?
I think I have most of the major players on my side.
Is Shining Finger a good move? Is it way overproduced?
Shining Finger is a good move. I've got the Shining Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Burning Gundam.
Ooh.
I've got whatever the Russian one is.
Uh-huh.
I have the Chinese one.
Mm.
I have the French one.
Mm-hmm.
I have Maxter Gundam, which is the American one, of course.
Nice. Uh-huh.
I've got Master Asia.
Oh, perfect.
He's a secret unit.
Mm-hmm.
So there are conditions to get him.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, he's most of the time when he appears in the Super Robot Wars games, he's a secret unit.
Did you have to do a guide, or are you just like, I know how to get this guy?
No, of course I'm using guide.
Oh, all right.
So, as far as why goes, this one's, so, Kelly, why don't you read Sam's thoughts?
Okay, Sam gave this a 4 out of 5 and played it on PS5, saying that smashing toy robots in battle is addictive, soundtrack that absolutely slaps, Fabius for newcomers, and I'm going to butcher this, Reiden! Negatives are too many menus, not all plot lines are interesting, and the majority of visuals are bland.
That sums up Super Robot Wars in a nutshell. This one I feel is a much better entry than 30 and X. They actually did a very good job trying to cohesively make the plot lines work together. So that is a complaint with some of the Super Robot Wars games, is sometimes the plot lines don't really work well together.
No. How could that be?
Yeah, so this one, Ray Dean.
I thought that was a battle cry, but I also realized, knowing Sam, she's fangirling about a character.
Yeah. No, that's not a character. That's one of the mechs.
Okay.
It's a very old 70s one. She actually mentions it in her review. So okay. I think I agree. Four out of five on this one is actually a very good thing. It's and I agree with her points. Not all the plot lines are interesting, but they did a good job of integrating all the plot lines together. I actually have slightly different takes on the menu. So, I mean, Super Robot Wars always has a lot of menus. My issue is that the graphics for the menus look very bland compared to a lot of the older Super Robot Wars games. And that's actually been one of the complaints I've been seeing in the Super Robot Wars community. Now, most of us are willing to give them some slack, being like, hey, they moved from, you know, an old system to a new system for this game, because this one was built in Unity. Do you need me to just send you screenshots?
No, I'm good. Keep going.
I have not been playing this one on the stream, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've been playing
it.
Yeah, no, I'm playing the second Super Robot Wars.
There's too many of these.
There are 77.
77?
In the expanded Super Robot, which also has things like Scramble Commander, Super Robot or Scramble Commander, there are 77 games in the overarching Super Robot Wars series.
See, when you said Shining Gundam, I just pictured Jack Nicholson and a giant robot with a giant axe going, "Here's Johnny."
No, it is an actual Gundam. It has a Naginata.
Okay.
I like my version better. The Shining, but with giant robots.
I mean, it's piloted by Domon Cashew's waifu, so.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Why don't you play the new ones on stream ever?
Because they're new.
Yeah.
People don't tend to like watching new games because they don't want to be spoiled.
The top games list of Twitch would disagree.
Well, it also depends on what the game is, too.
You're right. RP gamers don't like spoilers. You're right.
Yeah. Like Elden Ring, it wouldn't matter. There's not much.
Not much to spoil.
Great story that is not really explained. Super Robot Wars.
Are people playing Super Robot Wars for the story though? Yeah, you got to think about that one at least. Yeah. All right. I'll accept that it's undetermined. I'll let it alone. Also, here's this dude sniping dinosaur mechs in space, and I love it.
Yeah, that's a kaiju. That's a kaiju from SSSS Dinazon.
Perfect.
And that character's from something Prince. I can't think of the name.
There's 77 Super Robot Wars games, but there's even more animes and stories that they take the robots from.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't even gotten the DLC, which has the
Bigo. That's just one robot, though. That's easy.
Yeah, cast in the name of God, ye not the guilty.
Jeez. All right.
Yeah, so I agree. I agree with Sam's review. It is a very good entry point. It's one of the better ones, again, for the cohesiveness of the story, the different storylines. Of course, you know, interdimensional stuff, time travel stuff, it's all there. And giant robots just beating the crap out of other giant robots. What is not to love?
And this has massive battles that probably takes you hours to complete them.
I don't know. I could. I. It does. It all. Well, it can. It, depending on how well your mechs are built, or if, or in some cases, you just put, because there are repeatable battles. I just put them on auto and let them do their thing. Because this does have an auto battle system, and the auto battle also auto skips text. So, did you need more?
No, I think we're good. Thanks, Tam.
Okay.
Yeah. Callie, are you
Yes,
going to play the new
Digimon.
Digimon?
It looks interesting. Digimon Story Time Stranger review
Oh,
from Ezra Kinnell
maybe not.
says it's 2.5 out of 5. He played this, or they played this on Windows. Has deep Digimon raising systems, an excellent soundtrack, and a clever mystery, but poor voice acting and dialogue, and combat is extremely easy until it isn't.
Oof.
That sounds
Bad
like
difficulty spikes. That's not good.
I like to call that, thanks to you and Pascal Josh, the Metalmax Zeo
Yeah.
conundrum.
Don't like that.
Yeah. And then we got a Varlet review from Alex Fuller. What was this about?
This is one of those Furyu school RPGs.
Well, this one didn't do much better. He gave it a 2 out of 5.
Think this might be the worst of the three.
Played it on PS5, has an interesting story, an enjoyable cast with solid music, but completely irrelevant gameplay and a broken battle system. So probably not recommended.
No.
And then we got a backlogging the year
Wait,
from
I missed a
Sam.
whole other game while I was looking at another window.
Yeah, Varlet.
Is it Varlet
I
or Varlet? Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
What?
He said I wouldn't say you missed
Yeah,
it.
apparently it's not very good.
It's a school game with mech or with fighting RPG things. It's Persona, right?
Yeah, but it's Furyu.
Oh, all right.
Furyu knockoff Persona.
All right.
Apparently for Furio can be very hit and miss.
Got it.
And this sounds like a miss. So Sam played Rido Remastered. I imagine that Sam enjoyed it quite well. And then Valkyrie Elysium.
And put up a backlog in the year column about it. So you can go
Yeah,
check that out
that's what
now.
I said.
Oh, okay. Before I
Sam played this
interrupted you,
for
I'm so sorry, and I'm interrupting you again to apologize, and that's why I'm sorry again.
Sam played Valkyrie Elysium for her back our JRPG July and was underwhelmed, felt the game that was very hollow and lacking compared to the original, and I definitely agree with that. Not quite the emotional game that the original was. And I feel her pain because she loves Valkyrie Profile. I didn't think the game was terrible. I mean, I beat it and I enjoyed it, but I can see how a huge VP fan can could be very disappointed by that particular entry. So now, what is she playing now? I can't see.
Trails Through Daybreak, I think.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Cool. So there
Also
you
in
go.
your backlog, Kelly.
Yeah, I need to get to that one at some point. Though with you saying Daybreak 2 isn't that good, I don't.
Daybreak was good.
Yeah. Should I just skip Daybreak 2?
Ooh, you could YouTube it. I think that's one where you could watch like a 30-minute YouTube and move on to the next one. Be very happy.
Okay. But that is it for everything in the sheet.
That's it? That's
Yeah.
it.
We're done?
We're done.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh. Oh.
So it's going to be a couple weeks till we get Josh back. He's off
Yeah.
for a bit. While you are away, is there anything you're going to be playing?
Gonna be trying to finish Ivalice Chronicles.
Nice. A lot of people focusing on Ivalice Chronicles right now. It's the only other game I see people playing besides Megabonk on my particular group of Twitch streamers that I watch. Kelly, what will you be playing?
I'm going to be finishing up Pokemon. Well, trying to complete all the levels in Pokemon Snap. Trying to record all of the different each Pokemon in that game has a different behavior that you have to photograph. And you have to photograph like four different types of behaviors. So I'm going to be kind of working through that, trying to complete it.
And this is old Snap or new Snap?
New Snap.
New Snap. Okay.
That's why I like New Snap so much, because they took a game that I loved and just expanded it out in a way that I couldn't even dream of.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's one I need to try at some point.
I think Andy has it.
I bet you Andy played it and gave it away. So I'm going to have to find it on sale or something.
See, and it's a Pokemon game, so I don't know.
It'll never go on sale. I know. I'll just live without it. I'll be okay. I'll watch a stream.
I mean, it's a good game. It's just so fun to just play around with Pokemon. Well, it kind of feels like I'm being mean, you know, because you're bonking Pokemon with fruits to get them to do stuff on a safari.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who loves animals, I feel bad bonking some of them on the head with fruit.
As you should.
But today, I am finally putting together my One Piece Lego set.
Ooh.
The ship, the Going Merry.
Isn't it the Merry Go?
No, it's called the Going Merry.
Oh. I wonder if it got localized different. All right.
No, that's... I mean, the One Piece fan is in the Twitch chat. Yeah, I had... So there's two famous ships in One Piece. There's the Going Merry and the Thousand Sunny.
It's not just me.
I get them confused all the time. And then when I finally started saying right, Vaughn said the wrong one just to mess with me.
All right. There is apparently it was called the Merry Go somewhere.
And apparently you can get new Pokemon Snap at Walmart for $46.99.
Okay. I'm sorry, I have to say something. I just Googled about Merry Go or Going Merry in One Piece. And yeah, like we said, it was translated as Merry Go in like one or two places, so that's how I got that into my head. But the thread that's discussing this, the entire thread is conversation between deleted Reddit accounts. So these people don't exist anymore, but their comments do. It's very confusing.
Is it people fighting over it?
No, it's like they weren't even banned for this thread. It's just like it's been 7 years, and throughout whatever other reasons, they've deleted or gotten banned from Reddit. The legacy of One Piece is just the remnants of deleted Reddit accounts.
But part of the reason why I get the names confused all the time is because I thought that Going Merry would be, or I thought either Merry or Sunny would be a cute name for a cat.
Makes sense.
We had a stray cat that kind of stayed over at our house overnight once, and I was calling her Sunny because I think we had just got to that arc in One Piece, but we were gonna go take her to the Humane Society that morning, and then we opened the door and she took off like a bat out of hell and didn't come back.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, well,
another entrance for your DoorDashers club.
I guess you're free, but I mean, she wasn't our cat. She was just a stray that we let in because we were at this was like at midnight at our apartment. And we were both like, what are we going to do with this cat? Well, let's keep her in the bathroom for the time being, and we'll just take her to the Humane Society in the morning so she can get adopted, and she's gone.
Goodbye. Which is what we should be doing now. So this week I will be playing Quartet, trying to finish it, and then some more Mega Bonk, and then I want to start Final Fantasy Tactics. We'll see how far I get in all that. And I think that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you all for watching. We're going to be here next week. I don't know what else is going on soon this weekend regarding streaming or whatnot. But probably just the normal schedules. Tam tonight, Hair Frog tomorrow, maybe Scar in the morning tomorrow, possibly. No. No Frog. Okay. No Frog? Yes Frog? No Frog? We're getting live updates. Hair Frog is on a break again. Okay, cool. Hair Frog is on break. Makes me sad. I like Hair Frog. I'm going to miss... I need my Hair Frog streams. All right. Anyway, so Hair Frog's on break. Sorry about that. Look forward to whatever shows up. Hair Frog will be back for Extra Life, which is coming up in a month here, right? So,
Gotta get on that.
Yeah, we'll have like links and stuff coming up soon. So, and you can donate and help heal kids. So, we'll get all that out to you. Get excited for that. We got a lot of work going into it. Scars on Sunday. We will be back on Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, right here on twitch.tv/RPGamer or in your favorite podcatcher. That's what we used to call them back in the day. Podcatcher of choice or the podcast app of your platform of choice, whatever that may be. Until next week, I'm going to say so long. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who contributed to the show over the years, and thanks to you for listening and reply to our question of the week, which is...
We didn't come up with one.
Oops!
Oh, no. Did you cancel Game Pass?
Did you cancel Game Pass?
That's a good one.
I love it. That's something.
And before we leave...
Actually, if I may expand on it,
mm-hmm.
Have you canceled any game service?
I mean...
Because there's more than just Game Pass out there.
Well, yeah, it's just Game Pass is the one that people are pissed at right now.
Mm-hmm.
True, but...
People are always going to... Okay, did you cancel Game Pass or any other service for an interesting reason?
There you go. And hug your pets this week.
Yeah!
That's my advice.
Hug your cat pets.
I mean, I feel weird. I have to say goodnight to all five, or all six, now five of our cats every night. Because mm-hmm. I feel like if I don't, then something bad's going to happen to them.
No.
I know not all people are hyper attached to their pets, but just give your pet a hug. Tell mm-hmm. it you love it.
Yep.
You never know when you're going to have to say goodbye.
And then you can also answer the sub question of the week, which is how long will it take till Kelly gets a new cat?
That is up to Vaughn.
Because now there's a vacancy. So start the over-unders, go over to the Discord where we will not be gambling on this, but I'm pretending we will.
See, I have to usually get a new kitten right away because I get so depressed mm-hmm. from the hole in my heart, from where the void where they uh-huh. were. I know some people are different. Some people are like, yeah. I'm not going to get a cat ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Vaughn is going to be, and I'm going to respect his autonomy and not pester him about mm-hmm. it. Because I don't want to make him upset. And two, I don't know how he feels. Because even though I like to fill the void, you know, cats are... A cat like Jack is just irreplaceable.
Yeah, of course.
There's no way you could find another cat like him.
Vaughn's already complaining in the chat room that he should be the one who gets to get the cat because he's the one who lost the cat.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
But also, Kelly, I agree with Hair Frog. 2 weeks. That's the over-under. So we'll catch you next week and see how you're doing. And until then,
bye-bye.
Hug your pets. Have a good one. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.